4, CPA mobile.
EA monitoring.
Saying KB 4, CPA, David.
Good afternoon, David. This is KB 4, EA, Steve, and Honeypack. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve, I think we got some QRM in there, but I gotcha. What are you up to today?
Hey, man, play on the radio, that QRM. I hope we're not entertaining with anybody. Go ahead.
I'm not sure what it is. Might be another repeater. Well, I am on my way home from playing tennis. And it's getting on out there now. We're going to start scheduling our 10:30 tennis game at 9 o'clock. So, because it's getting warmer earlier. So, anyway, so this will probably be my last 10:30 game for a while.
We got called the first part of that transmission about that through the last 10:30 game for a while. Seems like the band is kind of bad today. I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, there's something going on. I don't know what, some kind of QRM. So, but anyway, if you want to, you got 440 on your radio?
I do have it on the radio, but I'm not sure that I can get on it because I don't have an antenna for it. I just got this, I'm talking off of a Yaesu FT991A. I can get it probably on my handheld, but that's about it. Go ahead.
Well, heck, if it gets bad, we can always switch to a different frequency. But anyway, it seems to have calmed down for the moment.
I turned my handheld on 146.610. Seems like there were a lot of static coming through on it or something like that. So that's the reason I'm trying the base unit. Go ahead.
So, do you mess around with HF?
That is a good bit, especially in the morning around 8 o'clock. I do that early morning net for the East Coast. And talked to some people up in Pennsylvania and Virginia and up around Maryland.
There's several nets. I think there's one at 6 a.m., but I'm not sure if it's 20 or 40. It's probably 20. And, and the one I check into is in the evening. It's an 80-meter net at 7 o'clock. It's 39.15 on 80 meters. It means that they call that net every night.
Well, I'll have to build me an antenna for the 80-meter. I've only built one for 40-meter, and they're pretty good on it. Built a dipole and stuck it out here in the backyard on a V shape. But everything's off the ground about 10 foot. Go ahead.
And it's amazing what you can do with just the wire. I've got a Carolina Wyndham up in the trees. It's not, but about 30 feet up, I guess. And it's the shorter Wyndham. It's 135 feet long. So it goes 80 through. 6 meters, it doesn't do 160. It's the only one low bands that I can't get.
Well, you know, I've bought some antennas before and stuck them out there in the yard, and it seems like the ones I build is the ones that get better reception on that for some reason or other. I don't know if I'm just that lucky or what. Go ahead.
Thing about ham radio, you know, it's trial and trial and error, and you see what works, and hey, if it works, then, you know, go for it. And you might want to stick you another antenna up for, you know, for another band, and see how you do. Do you use a tuner with that?
Don't use a tuner with it, and it's usually down around, my SWR is usually down around 1.5 overhead.
Fine. Of course, I have to use a tuner with the Wyndham, because it's, you gotta, you know, tune it to the band, tune the antenna to the band you're on, or fool the radio, in other words. And, but I've got a 7300, and it's got an automatic tuner in it, and I tell you, I love it. It's got the waterfall, so you can see where the signals are, and it's just a great rig.
About those 7300s, like I said, I'm running a Yaesu FT991 Alpha there, and it's got the waterfall on it, and it's got an automatic tuner built in it, so sometimes I use it, sometimes I, most of the time I don't even bother with turning it on with it.
It just means you got a good antenna there. Well, that's great. God, here comes a guy up Watson Road or off of Wade Hampton in a motorized wheelchair. It looks like he's been to Walmart. I bet he is toasty warm by now. I think it's the same guy. He crosses Wade Hampton Boulevard here at Taylor's. If you know where the Walmart is in Taylor's, it's one of the busiest areas of Wade Hampton, and you'll see him just scooting across there, and traffic's flying everywhere. And I tell you, he's a brave guy. I've never met him, but I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, he'd better be glad it's motorized, because he would be sweating if he had to push that thing along. I remember my dad being in a wheelchair, and it was not motorized. And whenever he got tired of pushing, that's when I had to start pushing it, Greg.
Dad, he spent the last year or so, maybe 2 years of his life in a wheelchair. He would, most of the time, he would pedal it around with his feet, and you know, he didn't have to use his hands. And if he ever needed help, I'd just push him. Most of the time, that was just when I had to take him to the doctor or something. You know, I might have to push him up a hill or inside a door, through a doorway, that kind of thing. But he got around good. He was at the Woodlands, and of course it's pretty much flat. They don't tell the residents this, but they do make a slight incline for the what level is it? It's not the first level, it's the second level that you go to for care. And it's been so long I can't remember what it's called, but they actually make the floor, it's actually inclined just slightly, and most of the time the people are so elderly they can't make it up that far to get to the next section, which is connected. And it's kind of funny. It's a way of keeping them, you know, where they need to be without having to put up, you know, closed doors or put up a gate or whatever.
And that, yeah, well, like I said, I've been pushing a wheelchair. I'm 64 years old now, and I've been pushing a wheelchair since I was about one, because my dad, he lost both of his legs when he was in Korea during that war. And anyway, when he come back, you know, of course, he was in a wheelchair, and they put his house on the ground, and I've been learning how to handle a wheelchair from a caregiver part all my life, I go ahead.
Hats off to you, I tell you. My dad served during Korea, but he didn't have to go. He was not shipped to Korea. He stayed in the States. But anyway, I hate that for your dad. Is he still living?
Anyway, in December of 1984, that's when he went home. And I tell you, it was kind of a relief for me because, you know, I thought about after he got through, after he left here, you know, of course, I feel like he's walking again now, but and been doing it for the last 40 years. But now he passed away in 84, but I tell you what, there's a lot of things that I didn't do that I would like to have done as a teenager and coming up, but I didn't do it because I felt obligated to him, I go ahead.
I tell you, that's a great sacrifice on your part. You know, my hat's off to you, I tell you. You really don't expect to have to take care of your parents, and even though, I took care of my dad probably the last 5 years of his life, but I can't imagine, you know, doing that for years and years. But anyway, we certainly appreciate his service and his sacrifice. And I know he appreciates all you did for him. And hopefully you can enjoy life a little and enjoy this beautiful day. I'm going to jump out of here. I'm sitting in the garage. I'm going to go inside and see what the wife's got going on. And I'm going to wait a little while, let it get cooler. I got to cut the grass. But anyway, I'll say 73s. I'll stick around for your final. KB4CPA.
Consider it much of a sacrifice because, like I said, he kept me out of going to Vietnam, and because of that fact that he was a disabled veteran, and so I got to hang around with him that much longer. Listen, you have a wonderful weekend, and hopefully we'll catch you again. This is Kilo Oscar 4, Echo Alpha. We'll be clear.